platform of educated adults. Not even educated. I'm sorry, that sounded pretentious. Adults with actual views of the world and actual people who have lived long enough, or at least lived enough to understand what's being spoken to them about. If he wants to do an aside in what he does to talk about that, as much as, no, I'm not going to listen to you much as I'd listen to Larry King, or I'd listen to fill in the blank, someone who actually knows, whose actual mode of communication is talking about serious subjects. Jimmy Kimmel, I'll give a little bit more of a, let slide a little bit more. A kid like this, I mean, just the sheer fact of, like I said, he was wearing a stuffed animal on his head. He would have been better just to scrap that video and do some stupid video of him wandering around Japan.
15 million millennials say Logan Paul laughing at a dead guy in a tree is gold. Nuclear button.
Donald Trump's tweets. Yes. I hate that so many of the answers to these questions are Donald Trump's tweets.
Here's the. I'll give you the. I don't expect you to have it. I've got the full tweet.
I was
going to
say
right
you
here.
Must have the full tweet.
So in his New Year's Day address, Kim Jong Un said that I have a nuclear button. I have the button on my desk. To which Donald Trump replied in a tweet yesterday. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime? Because you start out buttering up everybody if you're Donald Trump. Will someone from his, this is our orange president, wrote this to a foreign leader. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I too have a nuclear button, but it is a much bigger and more powerful one than his, and my button works. This is the same Donald Trump who has been referred to as a small-handed vulgarian. I will point that out. So we have now...
So he might even miss the button if he tries.
We have now reached the dick measuring contest phase of our pending global nuclear apocalypse. And our president is saying mine is bigger than yours is.
Sanctions and other pressures are beginning to have a big impact on North Korea. Soldiers are dangerously fleeing to South Korea. Rocket Man now wants to talk to South Korea for the first time. Perhaps that is good news. Perhaps not. We will see. I swear, it sounds like kids in high school, like looking at his Twitter feed. The fact that I have to even have my main frame of reference for what our president is saying be Twitter.
But let me flip this. Let me flip this. This is WMFO Medford. This is what we do. The fact that these two guys are having a dick measuring contest, via the media, is reassuring because it tells me that neither one of them is taking this threat that seriously right now. Nobody is going to fire a nuclear weapon for saying mine's bigger than yours is. And the fact that that's where we're at with this thing.
That's actually kind of funny.
The fact that that's where we're at with this thing should have everybody heaving a big sigh of relief and saying, oh, okay, they're both clowns, which I think we kind of knew anyway.
We absolutely are.
Most people who walk around orange all day long are clowns by trade. And I don't know about Kim Jong-un, but certainly... He seems like a sort of costumed character over there.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime I see pictures of him, I'm always like, how are you guys not friends? Because just based on your sheer bond over being ridiculous.
As long as this conflict between the two of them stays at this level, we're fine. It's when they stop making comments on each other's penis size that we need to worry.
To lighten it up, Oakland Athletics.
That would be the A's to the rest of us. Their baseball team?
Yes.
I'm guessing they signed somebody?
No. They actually have announced that they're going to be offering free admission for their April 17th game against the White Sox. And it's not just the tickets are free. Parking is going to be free, too. And the promotion is in honor of the A's 50th anniversary in Oakland.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, they played their first game there following a move from Kansas City on April 17th, 1968, and it's a way to thank their fans for being so loyal since the move. I thought that was just such a nice, I don't know, such a nice gesture on on the part of my favorite sport.
Those tickets are gone right now, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, is there an online lottery at least, or some way of normal people getting them?
I believe that anyone who was in the, you know, loyalty club, things like that, it was a up to lottery for them. And then any that were left over were up to the public. But I think it's just such a nice,
it is a nice gesture. Yeah. I like that. Free baseball. America needs more of that. John Gruden.
John Gruden. Let's see. Nope, not sure.
He's going back to the Los Angeles Raiders. After several years in the ESPN broadcast booth, he's there right now. And the Raiders may find themselves paying a $200,000 fine to avoid the Rooney Rule in the NFL, which is a requirement that you must interview a minority candidate before you hire somebody. Now, in this case, you've got a situation where the Rooney Rule probably shouldn't apply because John Gruden is the great white whale of retired coaches. Everybody knows the guy could still come in and do great things. And the Raiders have pretty much moved heaven and earth to get him to come in and do great things. They want him. There are a number of teams wanted him. And if you've got that kind of a coach available, who's sort of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, there probably ought to be, you know, once every other coaching search, you can avoid the Rooney Rule. If that guy is out there and that guy is willing to come to your team, because here's the thing, if John Gruden wasn't a white guy, there'd be no problem. They could hire him, no fine, no controversy, no nothing. But because he's a white guy, now I got to go through this whole dance. The other thing on this story that's very interesting is John Gruden and Susie Colbert are pretty much the only two people on ESPN's Monday Night Football who have been there for any length of time. The fact that he's leaving basically means the in-game broadcasting team has completely changed in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And this is another sign that ESPN is going down the toilet.
There have been several especially over the last 6 months.
They done, kids.
Mm-hmm. Joshua Boyle.
Joshua Boyle. I have no idea.
Joshua Boyle, the Canadian man who was freed last October along with his family after being held captive for 5 years by a Taliban-linked group, has been charged with sexual assault and other crimes.
Great. Well, you know, you spend 5 years in a jail, you get a little pent up.
Yeah. He's facing 15 charges in all, including unlawful confinement, uttering a death threat, and one count of administering a noxious substance, according to a statement from his attorneys. He made his first court appearance in Ottawa on New Year's Day and then briefly appeared this morning in court. The case is adjourned till Monday. It's unclear the identity of the alleged victims, as in Canada, the court orders bar that sort of information. But his offenses apparently happened between October 14th and December 30th, which October 14th being like immediately after the family returned to Canada following their rescue. I will not be surprised if we get a PTSD defense.
Has ISIS offered to take him back?
Hey, it was the Taliban.
Oh, is the Taliban offered to take him back? Yeah, that's absolutely going to be the defense. Sad. Mitt Romney
is responsible for my having health care?
Yes.
I don't know anything beyond that.
Mitt Romney is expected to run for the Senate from Utah after Orrin Hatch, who has spent more than 40 years in Washington, decided to retire at the age of 83. Our orange president does not like this because Romney has been one of his most outspoken critics and pleaded with Orrin Hatch to run for another term. But everybody else in the Republican Party said, Orrin, hit the road. Let's let Romney in there. I have always thought Mitt Romney sounds to me like a German condiment. I would like the Bratwurst Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
Sauerkraut Mitt Romney. So you can look forward to Senator...
Oh, you've just ruined Mitt Romney for me.
You can look forward to Senator Romney coming your way from Utah later this year, kids. He, as of today, has an address officially in Utah. And we'll be campaigning very soon.
Indian jewels.
Like India or India Native American?
India.
Indian jewels. No.
Thieves have stolen precious Indian jewels from the famed Altani collection that were on exhibit in Venice's Doge's Palace. News reports say the thieves grabbed a golden jewel brooch and a pair of earrings today and escaped by blending in with the crowd and delaying the triggering of alarm. The exhibit, Treasures of the Mughals and Maharajas, was due to close today at the Palazzo Ducale, which is one of Venice's top museums on the edge of St. Mark's Square. The Altani collection is a renowned traveling exhibition of Indian and Indian-inspired jewelry and precious stones, valued at over $100 million. Venice Police Chief Vito Gagliardi tells the news that the thieves were technologically adept and able to delay the alarm system to make out with over $1 million worth of jewelry.
Nice of them to wait until the last day of the exhibit.
Oh, yeah. So at least let everybody see it.
Exactly. Let everyone get a chance to see it and then take it. Good form. Iceland.
Iceland. Oh, I don't know.
Has a new law that you'll appreciate, Chase Blaine. A new law that requires companies with more than 25 people to pay women the same as men.
Yeah, you
have more than 25 people, your women and your men get paid the same, or if you get caught, you're paying a fine. So says the Icelands.
Iceland really the Icelanders. Can get it.
Yeah.
Honestly, they... So often, anytime a news story comes out of Iceland, I'm like, you guys are just getting stuff done.
But it's also a country with like 400,000, 375,000 people in it. So it's easy to get things done over there.
It's fair.
And it's cold.
Yeah, they're not rocking multiple million.
It's cold. And if you're not nice to people, they're just going to let you freeze to death. So you kind of got to get along over there. It's an environment that breeds compromise, is what I'm saying.
Though I do always remember the quote from Mighty Ducks 2, which is, Greenland is covered in ice, and Iceland is very nice.
Hmm.
Peru bus.
Of course, the kicker on this is going to be that the men are going to be real PO'd when they all get a pay cut.
True.
That would be the bus that drove off of, I believe they call it the Devil's Curve.
They do indeed.
And killed 40 people.
48, actually.
48. It was 40 when I saw the story earlier today.
Yes, it was carrying 57. They were headed to the Capitol, and it was struck by a tractor trailer on the side of, as Derek correctly said, Devil's Curve.
Devil's Curve, yeah.
And it came to rest upside down on a strip of shore next to the Pacific with the bodies just kind of strewn among the rocks. And what made this difficult in terms of a rescue mission was that no roads lead directly to that beach, meaning that everyone had to either belay down or helicopter in to try to rescue people.
That's a 60-foot drop, I believe, off the Devil's Curve. Note to Peru, fix the Devil's Curve.
Yeah, maybe, you know, toss a guardrail up there.
Yeah, if you got a road to the Capitol called the Devil's Curve, maybe you want to do a little engineering and create the Devil's Straightaway. Just a thought.
And as of, I've been checking in with the story, as like Derek said, like earlier today it was 40 that passed. Now it's 48. As of the last time I checked, which is probably about 2 hours ago, there were 6 survivors.
Yeah.
And
I'm amazed.
At least 3 still missing.
I'm amazed there's 6 because imagine falling 60 feet in a bus.
In a bus, yeah. Especially in, I mean, nothing against Peru, but if you guys don't have guardrails on the side of your cliffside highways, I imagine
called Devil's Curve.
I imagine maybe your buses aren't quite up to snuff on, you know, safety codes.
Well, it's a bus. I mean, the bus isn't really designed to
withstand a 60-foot drop.
Yeah, it's designed to be waterproof and not much else. All right, last one for you, Sears.
Does Sears still exist?
Yeah, they do. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea then. I just thought Sears was gone.
You wouldn't know it from watching television because Sears did not run a single TV ad after November 25th. Kmart did not run a single TV ad after November 24th. The chief executive of Sears, Edward Lampert, deliberately did that. He chose to run lower-cost digital advertising over television, believing it would be a better way to bring people into stores. But of course, everybody who's watching the rapid decline of Sears is pointing at this as further evidence that Sears is on its way out, which it very probably is.
Which, I mean, the sheer fact that I thought it already was out.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Sears. It is WMFO Medford. And normally at this point in the show, we would take a break and play some music. But we've got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of from the end of 2017. A couple of things that we didn't quite get to in the show last week. And one of those things was our worst songs of the year. And we're going to start off with Shay's nominee here.
Yes.
Which I find, I don't know if I agree with this, because I am a Swiftie.
To explain my reasoning for making the worst song that I chose be the worst song, is that while I do tend to get Swifty at times myself, I feel that Taylor Swift has shown herself to be one of those people who complains a lot when she has nothing to complain about. And if you look at the lyrics to the song that I chose as my worst song of 2017, it's the lyric that really gets me, actually, is, let's see. she basically, oh, I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh, because she's dead. And if you look at the lyrics previous to that, no, she's not. She's the exact same caddy. Oh, my life is so hard because I'm tall and blonde and rich, girl that you've ever known.
Oh, poor Taylor.
Taylor.
Well, let's see what we get here. This is Taylor Swift.
And you must watch the video to fully understand the of this.
I don't ever think you really need to watch the video. Unless it's a lyric video that's very funny. We're in a graveyard. Oh, because Taylor Swift is dead.
Yes.
I don't like your little games. Don't like your tilted stage. The role you made me play of the fool. No, I don't like you.
She's a zombie in the
this
video.
Is what I'm saying, though, is that she blames. She's like, I don't like all of these things you made me into. No one made you into anything. You did all of that yourself.
But I think she's talking about the haters. Remember the haters gonna hate?
Why doesn't she just quietly complain to her squad about all this?
Because she's got a platform. Like Logan Paul or Jimmy Kimmel. Aren't you supposed to use your platform to complain?
Not when it's straight nonsense.
Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do.
See, I think you can hate this for being a high crime against pop music because that hook is terrible.
I would say that's the other thing is my reasoning for hating this song is threefold. Like the lyrics, the video, and just the song itself. I'm like, you're not even trying anymore.
Well, she is, because this is the perfect millennial anthem. Because what do millennials
do? That's how you know someone's not trying.
They blame everybody else for their problems. So this is, millennials have this on 24/7 now, and they're like, yes, Taylor understands me. Nothing is ever my fault.
That's what I hated reading the comments on this video. It's just like, oh my God, this is my new jam. I can't stop playing it. I'm like, ugh.
1 million people don't like it.
1,000,001. Hi, guys.
Yeah, well, YouTube rounds out the downvotes and the upvotes. It's 6-1. In favor of this, so 6 million like it, 1 million don't. For the record, that's way better than The Last Jedi.
Dead.
Oh, shut Look up. Yeah, this is like no effort whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even if you, the best part, look up the lyrics and realize how little effort it was. Because the hook, Derek's right, the hook is exactly, it's just so contrived and so just like an already played beat and already played rhythmic succession. Like, ugh, it's just gross.
But this is Lou Reed, voice of a generation. Type messaging here.
No, don't say that.
It is. Because this is how vapid and shallow a lot of millennials are.
Thank you for saying a lot of and not all. Especially since you always lump me into being a millennial. You. That's the irony, is that she makes fun of people for calling her fake when she is.
What are you doing? Getting receipts? Gonna edit this later.
Yeah, that's actually Taylor Swift like playing a bunch of different roles at the end there.
Playing a bunch of different versions of Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty unlikable. I can see where you would go with that. Yeah. Not a bad choice for worst song of the year.
Well, thank you.
Best radio show of the year remains The Big Picture. Right here on WMFO, Derek Gary, Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. When we come back, CNN. Another glorious tribute to journalism on New Year's Eve. This year, not content to have Don Lemon get drunk, they sent somebody else out to get high. And the backlash has been interesting. We'll talk about that right after this here on WMFO Medford.
The international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shea Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And now we're going to be talking about our main topic for the evening, which is the wonderfulness that is CNN's New Year's Eve segment.
God.
I knew that would make you angry.
God.
Where, taking a new spin on their usual New Year's Eve debauchery, they decided to have it be marijuana themed, with some of their reporters basically, I don't want to say participating because there's no proof of that, but
Randy Kay, who was, one of their correspondents.
I can't stop giggling about it, so you can just...
Randy Kay, who was one of their correspondents, went out to Colorado and spent a night riding around on the cannabis, going from pot event to pot event. Ultimately wound up at the Puff Pass and Paint party.
Yes.
Where she was drinking cannabis-infused cocktails on the air. We never actually saw her take a toke, but she's surrounded by people who are smoking marijuana. The contact high has to be a factor in this sooner or later. And I did.
Especially, I've been on the cannabis without actually smoking on it.
Yeah.
And it's.
We all know how effective.
For those of you who know what the term fishbowl or hotboxing.
The kids call it hotboxing these days. Yeah, we all know how effective hotboxing is. And we did see her drinking the cannabis infused cocktail. Meanwhile, Don Lemon is getting drunk down in New Orleans, and Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen are just being dull. That was CNN's, still better than Steve Harvey, by the way. Still way better than Steve Harvey. I was sick on New Year's Eve. I didn't go out. I didn't drink anything. I sat and I watched this crap all night long. And here's the thing. I am not uptight at all when it comes to the Mary Jane. Okay?
I wouldn't be your co-host if you were.
You listen to the show, you know I am involved in that industry. I work in that industry. I support that industry. I love that industry. I think marijuana should be free and legal. Let the stoners run free. Let them smoke in public. Let them hold hands and dance in the sunset. Holding hands and passing the bong and all the rest of that. Here's what gets me about this. In a year when fake news has been on everybody's lips, when CNN has been caught in screw-up after screw-up after screw-up, do you really want to put one of your reporters on the air on New Year's Eve hanging out with a bunch of potheads? Ooh. Let me ask you this question, Shea Spillane. Mm-hmm. Can you picture Walter Cronkite hanging out in a pot club?
Only in my wildest of fantasies.
Can you picture Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw or Ted Koppel or any of that generation of media of anchors and trusted media people getting drunk on the air, smoking weed on the air, acting intoxicated on the air?
No, but here is my opinion of this is threefold. So, oh, nice shot.
You're in it with those millennials.
Well, so first of all, I think that their thought process behind this was given the fact that, given exactly what you just said with the missteps, especially from the views of those on the right wing, they were trying to appeal to their, I will admit, hipster millennial audience. Absolutely.
CNN does not have a hipster millennial audience.
You'd be surprised.
I mean, granted, they're not as geriatric as Fox News.
But that's what I'm saying. Is
the hipster millennials watch MSNBC. We know this.
But that's what I'm saying is that they're trying to gear it towards, oh, well, like, we're cool, too. Trying to establish the same thing that MSNBC has with people my age and 10 years younger and everywhere in between. On top of that, I do think that, you know, it was a little, even like reading this, and I was out. I didn't even see any of this until the next day, but I rolled my eyes a bit. And this is coming from somebody who is a pot activist, who also obviously is, my first reaction was, well, it's legal in Colorado, whatever. But I will say that as much as maybe it was a bit over the top and a bit like, come on, guys, it's not the first time that CNN even their research center president said they're trying to trademark debauchery as their brand for New Year's Eve. We've done that for a couple years now. And like, you know, we don't have Kathy Griffin anymore. So like this year it's like we're doing bong hits, you know.
That's fine. Go hire some libertines to run your broadcast. Go get Steve Harvey. Go
CNN,
get Dave Chappelle.
CNN, I am available if you need me.
Go get Paris Hilton.
But that being said, I do think that maybe it was a little bit like, yeah, well, and like you said, it was like it didn't have to be it could have been somebody who wasn't like an established news person that they had do this. It could have been their 25 to 35 year old intern coming in and being like, yo, I'm the satellite person, which is ironically typically in a news type situation. Those are the people you don't send out like one of your big names to do satellite things. That's the whole idea is that like once you're established, you hang out in the studio and let the dumb interns or dumb entry levels do that stuff.
Here's one of the ways that CNN blows it, because last year Donald Trump, amidst his many tweets, sent one out calling Don Lemon, who is the 10 o'clock guy on CNN, the stupidest man in America. And my reaction to that tweet was not, poor Don Lemon, he's a hardworking journalist who's trying to inform the American people and put out a valuable show. That was not my first thought. When Donald Trump tweeted, Don Lemon is the stupidest man in America, I said, I agree with that, and immediately thought of last New Year's Eve when he was doing tequila shots and talking about getting pierced on the air.
And actually did get pierced on the air.
And at that moment I said to myself, yes, Mr. President, as much as I hate to agree with you on anything, in this one case, you're correct.
Well, that's what I was trying to point to was that, and this, again, I'm not to my third point yet, but that's what I was trying to point to is that as much as it is, you kind of roll your eyes and you're like, what are you guys doing? It is sort of like, it's like when you have that really uptight sister who is always straight and narrow in the one night, like she loves July 4th. So on July 4th, she just lets it all hang loose. That's what I feel like CNN in the past several years, particularly, or the past couple of years, I should say, particularly, has been trying to do with New Year's, where they're like, this is night you're going to see us like go off the rails and be silly. Not saying, again, I think that it could have been gone about, especially given the kind of volatile opinions surrounding marijuana legalization. It could have been handled in a, like, having someone more like me than like her be the person in the van. But on the flip side of that, I do think it was all in good fun. And I do think they purposely, like, to the point of overcompensating, kept pointing out that it's legal there, that it's, they're not this, they're not that. But I do think that the backlash of saying that was kind of inappropriate and like maybe you're going a little too far is one thing, but like Laura Ingraham saying we'll see how this all works out for our country, more potheads, increase in cases of schizophrenia, psychosis, more impaired driving as hashtag big weed makes millions, like, are you kidding me, girl? Like, is it 1936? Is the only basis you have on what results from smoking marijuana, the movie Reefer Madness, because all of that has been discounted for like almost a century now.
Laura Ingraham's read all the negative stuff about marijuana and it's her job to bring that forward.
She is an idiot though. Like, that's all the negative things about marijuana. 90% of the negative things that she says about marijuana are untrue. You really think that marijuana induces schizophrenia? That's not even knowing about marijuana. That's knowing about basic abnormal psychology.
People in the media taking shots at other people in the media is one of the media's favorite sports. Okay. That's why we're doing this segment, is because it's one of our favorite sports, because nothing is more entertaining than taking down your competition a few pegs. But normally, we stay away from stuff like this unless somebody really, really screws up. And in this case, I cannot get away from what a massive screw up it is to put someone on the air getting drunk on New Year's Eve, to put someone on the air getting high on New Year's Eve, even if you don't see him actually drinking, even if you don't see him actually inhaling, you know they're in the environment. If you got two brain cells to rub together, you know they're intoxicated. This is the same person that you may have to trot out in a couple of weeks to say nuclear weapons are falling. And fair. Who's going to trust that person at that point?
Well, which, I mean, I do agree in that sense. As I said, that I think that the choice in people to have do these segments was not really well made. However, especially given in the climate of our country right now, I mean, we have a reality star as president. We have some of the most ridiculous things to come out of a year have come out of last year, just in terms of various bases for violence, various like political movements that you wouldn't even think would need to be necessary becoming necessary. It has been such a ridiculous past year. I almost think it's and again, I don't think that having some of their major correspondents be the spokespeople for these various segments was maybe the best idea, but it was almost a satirical poke fun at 2017.
Except it's
of like,
it's,
who cares?
Except it's their whole MO over there. It's what they do. It's New Year's Eve. We're going to let our hair down. It's fine. Let your hair down. Go do it off the air. Don't put your anchors or your key reporters on the air getting intoxicated and then expect me to turn to you when I need actual news.
But what do we, I mean, that's my point, is that, yeah, I don't think it's cool either. I also don't think it's cool for our president to take to Twitter calling another world leader small penis. Like, it's, I feel like it's one of those things where you, absolutely, you can have an opinion on it. Don't get me wrong at all, but I also feel that it's like, how do we say that they can't do this when the leader of the free world is doing that?
Because
when
the president,
other people are doing that.
The president doesn't have any credibility, and we know that.
But that's what I'm saying, is that if the person in our country who's supposed to have the most credibility, at least on paper, at least on the surface, are you kidding? Kennedy hid all of his affairs and all of that stuff. All of that was hidden until he died, except for rumor. All of that.
Kennedy hit a lot more than that. Go see the paper and you'll get the rest of that story.
But that's what I'm saying, is that at least, I'm not saying that every president was perfect, or any for that matter, but I'm saying that at least it's like anything else where, from a PR standpoint, I can look at the evidence that's placed before me in the public, maybe ignoring that which may be rumored about behind closed doors. From a PR standpoint, you're supposed to be able to look at the president and say, okay, this all looks pretty clean and good. That's not the case with this president, so why should we expect it from our news sources? Why should we expect it from anybody?
Because when the president is as bad as this one is,
we need somebody.
You need a bulletproof news media to tell those Americans who foolishly voted for him and who continue to foolishly support his policies that they are wrong, and that they need to listen to someone who is a grown-up, who has experience and wisdom and vision, and can explain to them what's wrong with what the guy's doing. You don't earn any of that by getting high on New Year's Eve. You don't earn any of that by getting drunk on New Year's Eve. And here's my favorite part of all of this, because Fox, of course, is having a field day with this.
Oh, yeah. Christmas came a couple days late for Fox News.
Fox ran the dragnet on Twitter and actually came up with some pretty good tweets, bringing another dimension to this whole thing. Here's one from Hen Griffey Jr. Meanwhile, we had white folks on live TV on CNN smoking weed as they awaited the ball drop. That's an interesting... here's another one from A.O. Frank. I don't care if it isn't legal everywhere yet. When I see a room full of white folks smoking weed live and in color on CNN, knowing prison cells around the country are packed with black folk with similar entrepreneurial ambition, I get pissed. And those are just a couple of the hundreds, and there's like another half dozen. This is why white people should have no control over any drugs. CNN can do this. Can't say that word. But I could be busted and thrown into jail if the ounce of my weed looks like three kernels of popcorn. Either I'm burning down the marijuana shop so everyone can equally be high. And this is legit.
It is legit, but at the same...
This is 100% legit.
This is opening an entirely new can of worms, but I... It's not, I'm not, I already got into this on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and I don't want to have our phone lines lighting up for the wrong reasons. But to turn it, I do understand there's definitely a discrepancy in that regard, but to say that it's all a black and white thing is not true.
No, but
turning this into that is.
I'm not saying that this is all black and white thing. What I am saying is that for Black America,
this is a slap in the face.
This is a big deal. This is a slap in the face. This is, you might as well have called this the CNN white privilege New Year's Eve celebration, because in a very real sense, that's what it was. And as somebody involved in the marijuana industry, one of the things that has been a real bone of contention and a legitimate bone of contention is all of the people in the black community who would like to apply for a dispensary license, who would like to be in this industry, who would like to run legitimate businesses, but can't because they got picked up for possession 15, 10 years ago.
Well, and there's, and that's what I'm saying. And again, I don't.
And by the way,
I had my throat jumped down for saying.
And by the way, let me take this one step further, because there are white people in this business who were picked up for possession, but they were able to lawyer up and get that conviction thrown out. Whereas the black people, no lawyer, you go to jail, now you can't participate. This is the single biggest growth industry in America right now. And these kids can't even get a job behind the counter in a dispensary because they might have been arrested 10 years ago for possession.
Okay. But again, it's, I feel like it's in any issue, this one included, making generalizations like that is dangerous. Because, yes, that may be very true. Everything you said may be very true. But there are still exceptions to both rules. And there are still, having it be a, you get this and I don't get this, or vice versa, is not helping anybody, nor is it going to advance things at all. It's saying screw you because you get this, or screw you because you don't understand me, is not going to help anything. And there have been, again, not acknowledging that there is definitely a discrepancy, but I spent 3 years living in LA going to dispensaries. There were plenty of black bud tenders in my dispensaries. Just like I have plenty of white friends from when I worked in marijuana legalization over half a decade ago, who were in jail because of growing and selling pot. So I'm not saying there isn't a discrepancy. I'm not saying that if you look at all these numbers, there isn't going to be a vast difference. But I also think that it's serving us in no way to turn this or anything into a, well, this is white people getting to do their thing and it's unfair to black people. That's not.
I disagree with that statement entirely, because this is exactly what the problem is in this country, is we have a segment of society that is completely marginalized, that lacks a voice.
And I'm not saying that's untrue.
But you're saying, I don't want to hear about it. You're saying,
I'm not saying I don't want to hear about it. I'm saying,
that's what
don't
you just said.
It,
that was no, the argument you just no, made. I don't want to hear
no,
about it.
No, I did not say I don't want to hear about it. I said you can't make it into, for lack of a better term, black and white. And I'm not saying black and white as in black people and white people. I'm saying in terms of there's this side and this side, and this side gets treated 100% this way and this side gets treated 100% that way. There's definitely a discrepancy. There is definitely, I am not saying there is not an unfair bias, an unfair pattern of treatment. I am saying that pointing that out, while important, is not going to get those who are maybe not people of color who are experiencing the same thing to get on your side when they are experiencing the same thing, when they have gone to jail for 15 years, when they have, saying all me and no you or vice versa is not, it's the same thing as me trying to say, oh, well, we've had it just as hard. I know that's not true. I know for a fact that's not true. But nonetheless, it's still important to keep the focus on the issue overall instead of subcategorizing the issue so that we lose sight of the important part, which is just in general, people who are in jail for marijuana-related offenses, regardless of color, should not be there based on the climate that our country is currently in.
But you also have to acknowledge the fact that they are disproportionately
black.
That's
what I said. I know there's
a
discrepancy. I've said that like four times. I know there's a discrepancy. I'm just saying that, and it's not saying you shouldn't acknowledge it, not saying that it isn't important to know about, but just saying that in overcoming the larger issue, it's not helpful to turn it into, well, screw you guys. Like, basically saying to me, why should you even try to help? Because you don't know what it's like.
I think
well, you're right. I don't.
I think this is a case where you absolutely need to do that. Because what do you have? You have a bunch of rich white people in Colorado. And make no mistake, the legal marijuana business is a new plaything for the rich. If you're poor, you've seen the marijuana prices. If you're poor, you can't afford this stuff. There's still a thriving black market in Colorado because people can't afford to buy legal weed. So what do you got? All night long, CNN, rich white people hanging around, getting high, having a good time. Not a single black face anywhere in sight, anywhere in that broadcast. So my sympathies are 100% with the people calling CNN out on this. Because if you tune in to watch New Year's Eve, you're not expecting to see The Privilege Show. And sit there and say to yourself, "What if I was doing that in my home right now, and a police officer walked in, I'm going to jail for the next 5 years.
Oh, no, and I'm sorry if it came off that I don't acknowledge or appreciate that. All I'm trying to say is that it's, and I'm not saying that's not true. I can't, again, I have no idea. I am, my skin is the whitest thing you've ever seen, to a point of that if you look at it directly, you may go blind. But
Becky with
I'm not
the good
saying,
hair.
I'm not, God, I hate when people call me that. I'm not saying that I can even come close to understanding what it's like to be in the position of a person of color in this situation. All I'm saying is that if you truly want some kind of change, if you truly want it to be different, yes, we should acknowledge the discrepancy and the complete disproportionality between the people of color in prison or being held accountable for pot use as opposed to white people being held accountable for pot use. But the way to make that happen is not to turn it into a solely black and white issue. It needs to be, well, we can acknowledge this, but why don't we work together? Not, screw you, you're white, I don't want to talk to you about this.
But that's not what people are saying.
Some people are, I promise you.
There are some people saying that, but largely what they're saying is, why the hell are white people getting away with this and putting it on TV and having a great time, and we can't?
And that I think is a fair point.
And it may not be expressed that eloquently all the time, and it may be expressed in some very negative ways at times, and I agree with you, Shay.
Well, I was saying, that's my point, is that there are ways that you can go about talking about it and still acknowledging that, which is totally valid to do, without having it be flipping the double bird to anyone who's white, who's trying to understand and commiserate.
But in this case, CNN deserves the double bird. That's my feeling. It's WMFO Medford. All right. I said we weren't done with Logan Paul. We are actually done with Logan Paul, but we're not done with his brother.
Oh, no.
As we continue our house cleaning from 2017, my choice for the worst song of 2017. Folks, please, let's burn YouTube to the ground.
Yeah.
This is Jake Paul.
Y'all don't know what's about to happen, baby. Team 10.
Is this legitimately his brother?
Yeah.
But I'm from Ohio, though. White boy. Every day, bro, with the Disney Channel flow.
No.
On YouTube in 6 months. Never done before. Pest all the competition, man. PewDiePie is next. Man, I'm popping all these checks. Got the brand new Rolex.
I take back what I said. People of color, you're totally allowed to hate white people.
This is the clean version, by the way.
If they ain't with the crew.
Because this song needed swearing.
You begging for attention. On Twitter too, but you still hit my phone last night. It was 4:52 and I got the text approved and all the recordings too. Don't make me tell them the truth. And I just dropped some new merch and it's selling like a god church. Ohio's where I'm from. We chew them like it's gum. We shooing with a gun. The tattoo just for fun. I Usain Bolt and run. Catch me at game one. I cannot be outdone. Jake Paul is number one. It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro.
This guy's got some flow. I'll give him credit for that. Oh, he's got his crew with him on this as well.
Oh, good. Are all of them also Bleach Blonde? Can I say D-bag on the air?
This one's a Bleach Blonde English D-bag. This one is not Bleach Blonde. He's naturally dark blonde.
Thank God.
Well, but the one thing they all have in common is they're all YouTubers.
Justin Bieber, I blame you for this. This is all his fault. He's the one that started the "you can get famous off YouTube" like movement.
Yeah, but there were actual music companies backing him up. These are just idiots.
It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro. I said it's every day.
The worst things I've ever heard.
Can we switch the language?
Sorry.
We better hit it. We
got to break it down in Spanish now.
I hear he's in Spanish level too.
This is bad in multiple languages. You have a new appreciation for Taylor Swift now, don't you?
Why is...
If anything, the one thing I'll say about this is that they're trying harder because no one here has any talent whatsoever.
Oh, there's a girl too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's about 4'8" and top heavy.
Top heavy. That's a very
and she smells good. Yeah, that's important.
I was gonna say, thank God.
This is an important criteria for YouTubers that they smell good.
Because they're about to add that "I can smell you" feature to YouTube.
Oh boy, can't wait for that. Jake Paul, ladies and gentlemen.
You totally beat me in the worst song of 2017.
That is the height of entertainment in 2017, folks. You can find that on YouTube. And then you can go and drink yourself to death because that's really the only thing that's left.
Yep.
It is WMFO Medford. We still have our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week coming up. But one final bit of house cleaning from 2017, and that is our tribute to the people that we lost in this past year. See how many of these famous voices you can recall.
I've never been in it for the money. In other words, Playboy isn't a business for me. It has been, from the very beginning, a labor of love.
I guess God gifted me with a hard head because I really couldn't feel punches.
Zombies cannot run. So anyone who has a zombie running, don't listen to that person. Their ankles would snap. I mean, you know, what did they do? Go and join a spa the moment they rose from the dead? Give me a break.
You know, in my day, when I first started out, it was a lot of sand and a lot of guys that talked like, hey, Frank, what do you want to do later?
Yeah.
And these guys went to college.
Mom, can we have another talk about boys? I think you should get a man's point of view this time. Yeah, maybe you're right. I'll talk to Fonzie tomorrow.
Boom! Well, that's an insult in the face of the public. There ought to be a number law that covers that.
Good afternoon.
Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond. I'm looking for Dr. Gwynedd.
You just found her.
A woman.
I feel sorry for Bledsoe in a sense, because Brady is really going out there making plays, and I know Drew really wants to be out there to showcase his talents.
Been around the courts for a long time, practiced law for a while. I've heard many lawyers argue cases. None has done any better than you have, Mrs. Landry.
Whoever dehydrated those pirates could not have foreseen their accidental rehydration with the heavy water we use in recharging the atomic pile.
I found my thrill.
Yeah,
Doesn't like you.
I'm sorry.
I don't like you either.
If a leading character isn't real to the author, why should it be to the reader?
The Rooney Rule states that a team that's hiring a head coach must interview at least one minority.
And not so much the pitching part or the mental part, but really things that other players have taught me about being a good person, about playing the game right, the right way, about being respectful to the game, to your teammates, to the organizations you play for.
Great men are forged in fire. It is the privilege of lesser men to light the flame.
And last night I thought, what is a family anyway? They're just people who make you feel less alone and really loved. And that's what you've done for me. Thank you for being my family.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're wrapping up tonight's show. We're going to be here with you for a few more moments, just in time to fit in a few last segments. Right now, we're going to talk about what's hot, which is our favorite thing from the past week or the coming. And we've been in such a cold snap that I've been looking around the internet trying to figure out some ways to, you know, be less cold. And I discovered this great place, which some of you may not have heard of, called the Great Wolf Lodge. It's out there in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and it is an indoor water park resort. It opened in 2014, but is 68,000 square feet and is always 84 degrees Fahrenheit. They have, like I said, a water park, and then they have a MagiQuest live-action adventure game, a play park, a ropes course, mini golf, a bowling alley, an arcade, and even a kid's spa. And literally, like, everything you need to pretend that you're in Florida instead of New England is under one roof, only about an hour and a half from Boston. And I'm super pumped to look into this if I have the money, but I think you should too. If you don't feel like dropping money for a plane ticket, you can get the information at www.greatwolf.com/New England.
Drinks with little umbrellas in them. You need